The business end of the season, round 21 of the NRL. The NRLW's purring along. And we've got Bo De La Cruz missing tonight, but Mahalia Murphy jumping in. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a big show, T. I'm looking forward to that. But you've got a couple of shout-outs there you want to give out?
Yeah, well, one of them is the Arnhem Crescent Blacktown knockout. It's coming up on the 20th of September. It's the only Sydney knockout before the big one, the big KO. So there'll be store holders, opening ceremony, elders at the tent, and there's usually some really good teams. So, you know, if you can get there, you know, get a good hit out before the knockout, it's a good place to play at. So, yeah.
It's too early to be talking knockout, but they're all excited. Blacktown. Another big congratulations we want to give is to Jess Skinner, officially appointed as the Gillaroos coach to the 2026 World Cup. Now, Mahalia, you've been playing in teams with being coached by Jess. What kind of coach is she?
She's amazing. She's so humble, so quiet, so composed. She's just lovely to talk to, but she's just so clear and direct and calm. So, and she brings that to the team as well, just being, you know, calm and composed and just enjoying each other's company and making it a very nice, relaxed team with whatever team it is that she's coaching.
It's a massive achievement for an Indigenous woman to become the first female national coach we've had in rugby league, and certainly well done to Jess. I remember I went out to the first coaching clinic that she used to do out in Bathurst and Orange, freezing cold, a long time ago when she was just coaching local academies out there, and now she's our national coach. So big achievement to Jess and well-deserved. Congratulations. Now, round 21 results of the NRL, some big scores there. Some teams, the creams were starting to rise at the top there, the Storm.
There you go.
34-30 over the Roosters. The one that I was surprised by was the Titans upsetting the Wars over there in New Zealand.
Yes.
And the Eels, 22-20 over the Broncos in one of the best games I've seen for a long time. And those Eels are really starting to rise. Straight from the top, I want to give a congratulations to the Fox, Josh Adokar, 150 tries. He's close to 200 games as well, Fox, but that's a massive achievement, T, to get 150 tries. And Fox looks like he's really enjoying his football out west there now and settled in at Parramatta.
Yeah, he's in the right jumper, isn't he, Dino? But, yeah, to score 150 tries, like, that's a massive achievement. Like, when he was at the Storm, you know, like, he was just in a really great side, scored a lot of tries, he's just got a lot of ability. And, you know, for him to score that many tries, you know, he's 18th in the all-time list, so it's really good to see that, you know, he's up there.
Speed to burn. His character, he's one of them funny guys that sort of brings everyone together, the Foxy. He makes it fun. He makes it entertaining. He makes everyone feel involved. What have you noticed with him out there, working closely with him at Parramatta and the Eels?
Oh, he's been great out there. He's definitely brought the team together. You hear him before you see him, but I was just with him, actually. But, yeah, he's loving it out at Parra. He's loving the facilities. He's loving the team, the culture in the club. And he's just enjoying it. But, yeah, he's an exciting player to watch. As soon as you give him some space, he's off. He's hitting sixth gear, hitting handbrakes, and, yeah, 150 tries.
Yeah, he's done well, so I hope he really celebrates that one. Now, you talked about the culture at Parramatta, and we talk a lot here about what we've seen in the difference in the Eels. Now, they're not right at the top of the competition ladder. You can see they're building for next year, but Coach Jason Ryles certainly made a difference out there at the moment. What have you seen from Jason Ryles in your experiences with him at the Eels this year?
Oh, he's been great. He's done so much for the club already and changed it in many ways. My first ever involvement with him was up in Darwin when we went up there, and we got invited to go into the men's space and, you know, be at one of their team meetings and acknowledge me as a player. And it was great because we haven't really been able to be involved with the men's team in the last couple of years. So it was good to be in that space and kind of see how it is for the boys and even for the club. Like, he's done so much with the club already, like straight, you know, down through the development up to the NRL, involving our girls, you know, the younger boys coming through, and even just bringing in past players to kind of share their knowledge and experience as well. To get around the team, and he's just brought the club together, not even just players, but, like, you know, the HR, everything, like the staff have been able to come down and interact with the players more and be in the same space. And the new facility we've got is amazing, and it's just, yeah, he's done really good for the club.
That's excellent to hear, AT, because we were at Parramatta back in the days. We're all Parramatta people here. And the club was one back in those days. You felt like it was a part of something really big out there in Western Sydney. We've always wrapped Jason Ryles here. Tell us what your thoughts on what he's achieved this far and how the plans are going for Jason Ryles at Parramatta.
Yeah, look, as a player and played with him, you know, for New South Wales and Australia, he's just a really good bloke. You know, I think the biggest thing for him is strength is relationships. You know, Mahalia's talking about the relationships that he has with the players, the staff, bringing in old boys, you know, the HR or administration. And that's just a gift that Riles has got. He's like a Craig Fitzgibbon type of model. Even though he's been coached under Robinson and Craig Bellamy, he brings that, and you know, he's a big man too, so he brings that presence. And you know, I just like what he's doing, because when we were playing, it was a tight group, you know, in Parramatta. You know, we had the staff, it was always together, it was always fun times with our family. Now they're out at Kellyville, and you know, Riles has got a really big, you know, chance to build this club up to make it successful inside and out.
You can see it certainly rising. One player that I've been really impressed with was Mitchell Moses. He came back on his first game, and you can see he's made a huge difference to that Parramatta team. Now, I look at Mitch Moses, particularly because he was missing during that State of Origin, as one of the best players in the game. What are your thoughts on Mitch Moses and what you've seen from him out there at the club in the short amount of time that he's been back on the field?
Yeah, I truly believe he's the heart of the team. He's the person that steers the team around the field, and just his kicking game. His accuracy and his kicking game, you know, for Lomax has been great, and it showed in the game on the weekend. But, he's a massive part of the team, and, you know, the boys feed confidence off him as well, and he does a really good job in, you know, directing the players.
You can see it's going to make a big difference to the Eels next year, and I look forward to seeing what they can produce. And they're still building this year. They're going to cause plenty of upsets. Now, speaking of upsets, one of the great upsets on the weekend, the Titans over the Warriors. Last week we saw Des Hasler really lose it in the dressing shed there with his young Titans team. But a great turnaround to go to New Zealand, which isn't easy, and get a win against the Warriors, who've been flying high on the weekend. So, T, dramatic turnaround there. Good to see.
Yeah, it is good to see, but it's also, you know, I hate sprays from coaches. Like, to get motivated, for have a coach to spray is, you know, the players need to pick themselves up. And Foran and Campbell, like, they played really well. Like, they steered that team around. Like, Foran, like, round back the clock, like, the way he played. Some of those balls that he was given. And, you know, Campbell, he's playing really good football. He's not standing out in the media the way that other halves are playing, but he's playing some really good football this year.
Now, the Raiders, they still stay on top of the competition with a very impressive win on the weekend there overnight. It's Jamal Fogarty continues to show that he's the top player that's needed to steer a team to a grand final. Very calm head, very controlled. His kicking game is probably one of the best in the competition at the moment. But the thing, something that worries me about the Raiders, every game they've been in the last few weeks particularly, they've given the opposition a chance to win the game or to be in the game at some stage. You know, they were a draw with the Eels and the Knights at half time, and these are teams down the bottom of the table. Will they get away with that against the top teams, you think?
Well, that's the thing, Dan. Like, I feel like they might be playing the strategy to play safe in the first half, complete their sets, have a good defensive line, roll into the game. As you see, like, with Jamal Fogarty's kicking game, like, he's kicked to 703 metres. Like, that's a big kicking game right there. So it feels like they're slowly building into it. But the thing, yeah, you're right, when it comes into the finals, like, a lot of teams, like, if you're playing against Melbourne, you need double and triple special efforts. That's the only way you're going to beat Panthers. That's the only way you're going to beat Storm. So is it something that they're building to? I don't know. But the thing is that you can't play that type of safe football when you come into the finals.
You can see that every week really counts on the ladder. And looking through the ladder at the moment, you see on the weekend it could be costly for teams that lost some of those close games. The Wars and the Broncos, they're up there trying to stay in that top four. You need those 2 points. These bottom sides are going to try and knock teams off from their team. The thing that's happening at the moment, we're seeing the Panthers climb every week. Do they start to look like they're the team that we've seen the previous 4 years, where they're starting to look like a grand final winning side to you, the Panthers?
Yeah, definitely. They, you know, they started a bit slow at the start of the season, but they've found their groove now, and I believe that they are in contention of being in there again if they stick to playing, you know, the good footy that they can play. But, they're looking strong.
T, only one injury to them at the moment. They had a lot of injuries throughout the year. Cleary looks like he's getting back to his best. 7 wins in a row. Can you see this Panthers juggernaut without Origin now to worry them, without any sort of hassles or barriers for them? They're headed straight for the finals and familiar territory. It seems like that at the moment.
Yeah, if we look in the past, you know, you can see that they always start slow. They build up into the season and they start, you know, going up a gear when it comes into the finals. This year, like we've seen, you know, they're big name players that played in the Origin. They're a bit banged up at the moment. And, you know, probably the biggest thing for the Panthers is going to be how they manage their injuries coming into the finals. But, you know, they're a threat to the Warriors at the moment. I feel like the Warriors might be backsliding a little bit. But if they do backslide and Panthers get into the top four, like, this year they'll come in last. Like, we were looking at them going, you know, is this it for the Panthers? And now they're, you know, they're just one, 3 points away from the top four. So they're a big threat.
Now, some up and down results on the weekend. Is there anyone you've ruled out of making the eight?
Look, Knights for sure. I think Knights are going backwards. There's just so much controversy up there at the moment, you know, with O'Brien, you know, Ponga. Dane Gagai, I think, you know, he's not happy with the contract that he's been offered. So there's a lot of... I feel like there's a lot of disharmony. I think they're just sliding backwards the Knights. So, you know, for me, they're not going to be there.
Who's your grand final tip?
I would say Raiders.
Raiders,
yeah, definitely. They're looking strong and they're playing well as a team together. Yeah.
Tell you who's your grand final tip.
Look, the Storm. The Storm are always hard to beat. Like, they're looking really good. Jerome Hughes, he's out for a bit. I think it's probably good that he's out. He gets to freshen up. Come into the finals, they're going to be dangerous.
Jamie Chapman there, struggling with that. How would you go on that hot dot there? Because you don't like chilli, oh?
No, not good at all, I wouldn't. I can't even stand sweet chilli sauce, let alone that hot sauce stuff that she's got going. She was going red real quick there and then couldn't even get through an answer or a question.
I wish I would have known that you didn't like chilli before the show, because I would have got one on here for you, just especially tonight to see how you go. But we'll leave that now. Now, round four, the NRLW on the weekend. Some real teams starting to rise to the top. The Titans turned their season around with a little bit of a win there. Unfortunately for your Eels, you went down to the Knights, who were really starting to click into gear there. But this Broncos and Roosters teams, they look like they're really starting to set themselves apart. Now, a lot of people are saying it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be an NRLW grand final between the Roosters and the Broncos. What do you say?
Well, I say that there's still plenty of games to come, and really it could be anyone's comp with the way that the teams are playing. And I think, yeah, the Roosters and Broncos are very strong, but there is still plenty of games to go.
Now, you at the Eels, you wouldn't be getting too concerned with watching the Broncos and Roosters. It's just, we'll leave that for when we meet them down the track. We're just concentrating on your improvement week by week.
Yeah, definitely. We're just going to focus on our, you know, this week's game at Newcastle, and then just build from there and not worry a bit too far ahead.
I'll tell you what, I've been impressed by the Eels this year. They've done really well. Last year's had a great season as well. You built on that again. The young girls are starting to come through. Tell us about some of the young players that you've got out there at the Eels that are really starting to impress you.
They've been great. We've had some girls come through, Tasha Gale. We've had young Fleur Ginn that came down from Brisbane. She's been a part of the Aussie Sevens development team in the past. So young girls that have come through and just, you know, stepped up, filled in some really big shoes and played with confidence. And I think it was really good that they got to experience it from the start of the comp too, because we know what it's like when you're being caught up into the, you know, the NRLW team and the pressure that comes with that. But I think they've handled it perfect. And yeah, they've been exciting and brought some really hopeful aggression for our squad going forward.
One thing that really impressed me with you as a player, and especially as a leader out there, as the captain of the Parramatta NRLW team, is you have your fun and you have a good time, but as soon as you cross that line for training or for games or whatever it is, you switch straight on. Have you brought that to these girls, that intensity and that focus when it's needed?
Yeah, and I think I've learned that from, you know, the last 10 years of being in professional sport. Like, you learn, you know, you've got to switch on, switch off when needed. But yeah, we like to have fun out there, but we also know when, you know, when it comes to training, like, we've got to make it count. We spend so much time training that, you know, we play one game at the end of the week and it's got to matter. So yeah, I just love to be able to, you know, have fun with our girls and enjoy the, you know, the team environment, but also, you know, switch on and do what I've got to do as a captain as well. Yeah.
Now, you live with Tanika Todd, and you've been giving her a lot of headaches there with a little scare cam and things like that. Tell us about Sneaks. What is she? What have you taught her, and what's it like rooming with her and building her confidence up at this level?
Oh, one thing I've taught her is just to make sure every door she enters, she's got to look out, because I do love to get a good old scare cam. So she walks in sometimes and she'll be like, if you're at the door, don't scare me because I've got hot liquids. Like, if she's got a hot chocolate or a coffee coming home. So, no, she's good to live with. She's a little gamer. She loves to play her game as well. But, yeah, she's good. She's good to live with.
She's certainly one going forward in her football and getting better every season there, young Sneaks. I wish her all the best too. Now, a worrying sign for me is the form of the Raiders early on in this NRLW competition. Now, Darren Borthwick, I've coached with Borthwick down there. I know he'd be giving it everything he can to turn their season around, but some of their results haven't been too good. They've losing by an average of 40 points a game here so far this season.
Yeah, it's no good for the Raiders down there at the moment, especially if the men's going really well. But, you know, the players, it just looks like they're down on morale. morale at the moment. And probably the biggest thing is that for these players, when you're down on morale, things are not going your way. It's going back to basics and then going back to hard work as well. Like when we were playing, it was more about, you know, what are you doing for your extras? Are the extras are just ticking off the boxes, or is it, you know, I'm working on my weaknesses? Am I spending time on a film and working on my own game? The biggest thing too, like with Wayne Bennett, he just kept it simple. It was like, you know, there's 5 minute you know, increments in training, and it's playing high level, high skill type of footy, and you implement that into your game. And then, you know, Brian Smith, Warren Ryan, the great coaches, all they do when they're under the pump is focus on how do we clean up our backyard. We don't focus on the other teams. We don't clip, you know, hours and hours and hours of other teams' games and what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong, or how are we going to come up against them in a game day. It's all about what do you do for your team, and, you know, what do you do for yourself, and how do you sacrifice things to help your teammates play better. So for them, there's a long way to go when it comes down to that. But, yeah, the player morale at the end of the day is down.
Now, one thing that I'm looking forward to in the competition is the women are going to play their first Indigenous round in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. As an Indigenous player, as a leader in the team, in the female space, what does it mean to you to play in an Indigenous round in the NRLW?
It's great. You know, like looking back, you know, watching the men be able to have an Indigenous round, it's something that we've always hoped for, being women in you know, the game of rugby league. But to be able to represent culture, and, you know, it's just great to be able to, I don't know if you've seen the jerseys yet, but, like, you know...
Tell us about them.
Yeah, so our jersey, we've got Sean Kinchula that did our design. He's done the men's jersey for the last 3-4 years, and he's got, you know, the Parramatta connection of the Parramatta River, you know, the Wattle that's close around by the river. And, yeah, he's got, like, different parts of, like, connection that represents the club, the players, staff, people before us, so... Yeah, I think it's just great that we can represent culture, our pride, storytelling through art, and represent that on our jerseys. So, yeah, it's going to be very exciting.
Now, this weekend you got the first ever women's magic round as well. Mm. That must be exciting to play, and all the games in one place up there in Newcastle. Is there a lot of excitement about this weekend's round amongst the girls?
Yeah, there definitely is. I think it's always exciting, you know, being able to have, you know, double headers, let alone a magic round where all the teams can come and play, you know, football over the 2 days. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that are excited to get around, and we can't wait to play.
Now, we do a match-up every week on the NRLW round. This week our match-up is Ella Costa from the Dragons up against Mahalia Murphy for the Eels. Now, how do you see this one going? Ella obviously been at All-Stars, a young emerging talent. What do you have to watch for this weekend going up against Ella?
Oh, look, she's a great player. I've known her for a few years, and even when we played Union together. So she's definitely grown as a person, as a player, and just her confidence as well. And I love, you know, being able to see that in players, is watching them flourish and know their ability. But she's definitely gained confidence over the last couple of years, and she's, yeah, that's something that I've got to look forward to. And just, you know, as an opposition, got to try and get on top of that very early and control her there. But, yeah, it's going to be a good game.
And your strengths before we go, your robust running, obviously can break the line at any time, and you got that strength. What else are we looking forward to watching you this weekend and for the rest of the season?
Oh, look, I've been trying to find my shoulder a bit more. So I think, yeah, I want to be a bit more aggressive in my defence. Yeah, that's something I want to work on, is my tackling.
Look out for that this weekend, Ella Costa. Well, they all get more important, these rounds. NRL round 22, some big games. The Eels up against the Storm, that will take it up. The Jason Rolls Cup. I remember the Storm down there early in the year. They flogged the Eels in that first game. Parramatta's got to be looking for revenge in that one. T, what do you think about that game?
Yeah, I think it'd be a really good game. Eels, like, they just don't look scared at the moment, and I feel like they're a threat for upsets in the back end of the year.
Obviously, some other interesting matchups there. Broncos versus Rabbitohs. Dragons up against the Raiders. They keep flying high. What's caught your eye there in round 22 of the NRL?
Oh, I'd have to say the Sharks versus Cowboys. I think there's a lot of Indigenous boys that are going to be up against each other, and one I'm looking forward to watching is Kennedy and Drinkwater versus each other.
Yeah, definitely two exciting fullbacks there. They'll be going up against each other. They score a lot of points too, those teams. It'll be certainly good to watch. My matchup this week is the Titans up against the Panthers, and our very own Jaden Campbell going up against the greatest to do it at the moment, Nathan Cleary. Now, Jaden's got a real great running game. He's a young player. He brings a lot of energy and excitement to his football. Cleary's the calm, steady force that never gets flustered, isn't he? What will Jaden need to bring to this game to really worry Nathan Cleary this weekend?
Well, like I think Jaden, as I talked about earlier about Jaden, he's playing some really good football, but it comes down to special efforts when you're up against these big teams. You just can't play structured football and, you know, basic and arm wrestle. You know, it's all about playing that special effort, and I think Jaden has to, you know, just get out of his skin, take some, you know, high risks options when it comes to him ball playing or running the ball. I think he'll be a threat to the Panthers, but yeah, it's going to be a great matchup.
Now, the Titans showed a lot of energy last week to get a win over in New Zealand. Now, they're going to need more than that this week against the Panthers. What do you see as a team for them to get an upset win against the Penrith Panthers?
Look, the Panthers, they just love grinding, don't they? They just love, you know, playing the arm wrestle. You know, they hunt as a pack. They got speed on the edges. You know, they move pretty quick as a team. So for the Titans, I think is kick long and just try and put pressure on them, because the thing is that the back five of the Panthers, they usually get their sets on rolling for them, and then their forwards, they just come out and they just hunt as a pack. So there's a lot of, like, the Panthers, they're in their systems. When it comes to the Titans, like, they shouldn't have to have a spray from Desi Hasler to actually perform. Like, this is a game that, you know, for them to cause an upset if they really want to.